Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Billboard Charts.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie. How are you?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I am okay. I'm just fine.
Great.
I'm okay.
It's a big day, Keith.
It's a big day. We'll tell you about why it's a big day in just a second. Because as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, well, this is our Election Day special, actually. And as the show is being released on Election Day in the U.S., November 3rd.
And actually, our company gives us the day off to vote. Thank you for that. That's incredible. So full disclosure, we recorded this episode early. So first off, if you're listening on Tuesday on November 3rd, please go vote. It's not too late.
Just press pause.
Go.
Leave the house. Do it.
No excuses.
And secondly, on today's show, we actually have a really fun interview with a pair of musicians who, ironically, can't actually vote in the election. So we made sure that we didn't tie up any American people on the show this week.
We don't want to be responsible for that.
Yeah, if there's like a one vote difference somewhere, we're not going to be held accountable for that. We're actually joined by two British artists this week, Joel Corey and Emini Kay. And they join us to talk about their global hit single, Head and Heart. So stay tuned for that in just a moment.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
First, for all the week's chart news, because normally this is the part where we talk about first up on the charts, make sure to visit billboard.com/chart-beat to get updates on the new Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart and the Billboard 200 Albums chart, along with the rest of our complete menu of charts this week, including just where Ariana Grande's new single Positions debuted at on the Hot 100.
Can you believe Joe Biden's number one on the Hot 100 this week? Well, wait, I'm getting things mixed up. That's a different thing.
He has a new career.
Hey, actually, let's just jump right into our interview with Joel Corey and Emini Kay. The two British artists have been making a splash with their global hit and my personal favorite, Head and Heart.
The song topped the official UK singles chart, reached the top 10 on the Billboard Global excluding US chart, and has generated more than 300 million on-demand streams globally, and hit number one on Billboard's Hot Dance Electronic Songs chart.
And now it's starting to make inroads on American Top 40 radio, having recently debuted on our Pop Songs Airplay chart. We caught up with the duo recently for a really fun chat about how the song came together in lockdown, what it's been like for them to see the song take off and be embraced, and we find out about their upcoming music plans too. So take a listen to our chat with Joel Corey and Emini Kay. Hello to Joel Corey and Emini Kay, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast.
Yay. Hi there.
Hi.
So first of all,
thank you for having us.
Oh, of course. Thanks, we have to congratulate you right away on the massive success of Head and Heart. And we just want to know, where did this song start? How did you guys come together on it? So tell us the origin story, please.
All right. So I'll start with this one. So I started work on this record at the end of last year, so like November 2019. And I was just working on a demo of it, and I knew this was like a really special record. At the time, I was releasing my other single, Lonely, which was my single before Head and Heart. So I was kind of just about to dive into that campaign. So I was kind of working with Head and Heart in the background, but trying to get Lonely out. And anyway, we got Lonely out, and then I sort of had my head clear, and I was like, right, next single, I've got to do this Head and Heart track, because I was really just knew it was special. But it needed a new vocal, and it needed some new parts written. And luckily, the demo that I was working on fell into MNEK's hands. I think my management sent it to him, and he messaged me on Instagram, and he was like, yo, Joel, I've heard this Head and Heart demo, like, I love it. And I was like, buzzing anyway, just to get a DM from MNEK, because I've been a fan of his for so many years. And I was like, wow, this is excellent. So we got chatting, and I was like, let's do it. And literally, we just got into lockdown, so we couldn't get in the studio together because all the studios had just been closed. But he recorded his vocals at home, and he wrote the new parts to the song that needed writing, and sent it back to me. And I was just like, bang. I was like, that's it. He's absolutely smashed it. He kind of put all these missing pieces of the Head and Heart puzzle together that I needed. And here we are.
So you had never, the two of you had never met before?
We had met. We'd met outside like a studio, because we both work at the same studio as it goes. And so we'd met before, and I'd heard his music, and I heard Lonely and loved Lonely. And I guess like when I'd heard the song, it had come at the beginning of lockdown, and it was very much a godsend, I think, that song. Like, I think when times are dark and kind of uncertain, when something like that happens and you hear, like when I got sent it, from the moment I heard it to when I recorded it, it was less than 24 hours. Like, I just knew, I knew there was something about it and something that I wanted to be a part of. And the entire process was just so great and so fun, and just a really quick turnaround and quick response. And yeah.
Katie, I want to jump in and ask, MNEK, when you got the track, did it basically resemble what we hear now, except for obviously your vocals and the part that you wrote? Like, was the sort of the core of the track already there when you got it?
The core of the song was already there. And, you know, Joel had kind of like, obviously, it basically just molded it into what it is. And then I'd heard it, and I guess like it was different for me because, yeah, usually I write and produce all my records and I'm very hands-on. And when I'd heard, it was great to just hear a song and just be like, this is a great song and I'm going to sing it. Oh, you want me to add a part to it? Great, sure. Cool. I'm just adding to an already great song, and I can be objectively a fan of it and then contribute to it as well. And I think that was what was most fun about it, that I could collaborate and just be confident that I'm being a part of something I really think is great and that is worth having loads of ears on it.
And so it sounds funny. Oh, sorry, go ahead, please.
Yeah, like when I had the demo right before MNEK came on board, like when I was showing like my manager and my label this track, I was like, it's like really good about this. And everyone's a bit unsure, a bit like kind of not really got feeling it. But as soon as MNEK's vocal came in and we got it into the track, suddenly it was across. Everyone's like, oh my God, that's it. That's a smash. I was like, I told you. So literally like MNEK came on, absolutely killed it. And yeah, my whole management team, my whole label straight away were just like, thumbs up, that's the one.
So the trick is basically, to everyone listening, the trick to getting a hit record is just to have MNEK on the record and sing it. Yeah, is what we're saying. That's it.
Listen, I honestly wish, I think that's what labels are thinking right now, but I can't confirm that actually personally. this is great. This was amazing that this had happened how it's happened, and it was just timing and fate, isn't it? That's how it always goes.
Well, and it sounds like you both knew how special it was, but could you have ever predicted, you know, 6 weeks at number one in your native UK, you know, just how big of a smash hit it became?
For me, I wouldn't have predicted that. That it sounds crazy, even you saying it now, it still doesn't feel real. I don't think it's totally sunk in yet, but yeah, I would never have predicted it. I knew it was a special record, but wow, to get a number one single, that's a dream come true. But I do think timing as well, like MNEK said, It came at a time when the world needed like a positive, uplifting song and a sort of track that's going to brighten up people's days. And I think that's what this track does.
And obviously, you know, you haven't been able to traditionally promote this album or the song rather. But, you know, given its success, obviously it's gone quite well for you. So how did it go promoting this song while people are in lockdown and it's such an upbeat song during such a weird time?
I mean, it was like a lot of Zoom interviews and, I mean, I think I haven't even gotten half the brunt that Joel has had as far as like, you know, answering, so how did this song come about? How did you do this? And like, you know, Joel has it pat down. I've been so out of practice. And so like, you know, it's been fun to promote a record and not leave your house. And just like, you know, literally I'd just be in bed and just have an interview with Capsule FM or whatever and just be like, you know, it's not that deep.
Or in the garden, perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, yes, exactly. In a garden setting or whatever. But I find that I loved that we were able to do it on Strictly Come Dancing recently. And, you know, having like a performance of the record is one of the things that you usually have as a promotional tool, like as a way to promote a song that is coming out or you want it to go to a certain place. And, you know, we'd recorded this song at a point when it was already doing this thing, you know what I mean? It was already well established that it was what it was. And it's really cool to do that and, you know, be at one with the record as well.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I mean, speaking of Strictly, we were going to ask about that because I think that was the first TV performance of the song, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That must have been exhilarating, but also kind of complicated to set up. I mean, who knows how many rapid tests you had to take to make it happen. How did you prepare for that performance, Joel?
It was the first TV performance that we'd done together. And by the way, my mum absolutely buzzing because that's her favorite TV show. Like, it literally was the biggest thing ever for her. But what we did for that one is obviously, I mean, it's all on them and EK, really. Do you know what I mean? He's the one singing and doing it live and killing it. And I just play my part, you know, I'm behind the decks and I've got like a sample trigger pad that I can like play some drum hits off and some samples during the record, during the performance. But really, it's all on this guy. Just Coven absolutely smashed it. And what a moment for him, for us as well, you know, on BBC. It was
both of us, 100%.
Yeah, the response has been made, like, your social media must be blowing up after that because mine's gone crazy.
No, I mean, look, because I've kind of been out of the loop with performing, I guess, and, you know, it's fun to dress up and promote this song that I'm a part of and just sing it and it be well received and it, you know, go up the charts again and, you know, people being able to see the song in a new way because I'm a fan of music first, you know, and I'm always like...
Yeah.
YouTube is all of my favorite performances of my favorite songs. And so it's great to have that alongside Head and Heart.
I mean, from like a DJ perspective, like biggest thing for me this year is that all my touring and gigging has been cancelled or postponed. So the weirdest thing about this single for me is I never tested it in a nightclub or played it in front of a crowd during the production process, because that's usually where I test my records, then take it back to the studio and tweak what I need to tweak. For example, with my track Lonely, I was playing out my DJ sets for nearly 6 months before I released it. So I didn't get any of that with Head and Heart, which was really, really strange to me. But you know what? I'm dreaming of those days when the festivals come back and I can play that record in front of like thousands of people. I just think it's going to be the most amazing moment. So yeah, next year, me and Eminem, I'm sure we're going to be at some festivals doing that and it's just going to be absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it feels like it will mean even that much more too to finally have that moment, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly, the song, we've talked about how well it's done in the UK, but it's making huge headway over here in the US as well.
We've got stats. We've got lots of stats.
We've got numbers.
I like stats. Come on, man.
It's Billboard. You know we have tons of numbers. It's what we do.
These are all courtesy of Keith, but I'm going to read them out to you now and embarrass you both with numbers. Over 300 million global on-demand streams, top 20 on the global 200 chart, top 10 on the global chart excluding the US, top 10 on Billboard's Hot Dance Electronic Songs chart, and it recently broke through onto our US Pop Songs Airplay chart, so you're officially top 40 as well. It's pretty massive over here. I'm wondering what that means to you as a UK artist to have this song, you know, breaking through here in the US.
I mean, for me, it means everything because it's like America is the big dream for me. You know, I want to be able to tour America. I want to be able to be over there, and if this is the track that helps me connect in America, then yeah, this is what I've been waiting for. So I'm so excited about this, and Nika, I'm sure you're absolutely buzzing as well.
I mean, it's exceeded all of my imagination of what the song could have done. I mean, I already knew it was a smash, but then I guess it's interesting because America, I guess their relationship with EDM music or dance music rather is different. You know what I mean? It doesn't always go top 40 or always have like a, you know, a real, like, it's great to see and it's amazing. Like, I'm happy to have music that's doing well in America again, because I mean, the last song that I was a part of was I Never Forget You with Zara. Yeah, I mean, it's great. I love being able to be a part of just great music that happens to be worldwide or international. Like, things like this let you know, oh, this can work internationally. This is an international record.
I just want to say, and this is like, there's no question of this, it is such a damn earworm. It sticks in your head forever. Like, but I mean, that's the thing, like each part of the song, like all the lyrics, the beats, the chorus, they're all sort of crafted in a way where they're each incredibly memorable on their own. And I think that's just like obviously the hallmark of a great song, but I just wanted to say that there's no question. It's just a statement.
Thank you. Yeah. I think the trick is that the song literally has two or three melodies. There's not much to it as far as like melodic information. And I think that kudos to everyone that we worked on this song with, you know, that, you know, has been a piece of the puzzle. It's great that we've been able to be a part of this and make it, and that people can, we hear that a lot where it's just people are like, oh, this is an earworm, oh, we can't get out of our heads. And I think it's a great thing, that music, when it does that.
I feel like within the record there's hooks and hooks and hooks, and the record is so instant as well. I think that's why it's connecting so quickly with people, and you could just pick it up straight away.
For sure. Just because we can't take your time all day, I do want to know what you both have coming up next. I know, Joel, you've had these, you know, back-to-back-to-back really big hits building and building and building. Are you working toward an album? Like, what do you have in mind for your next project?
Yeah, I've been working on lots of new music, and obviously when the time's right, I'll come with the next one, probably next year, just because Head of the Heart is, you know, still growing around the world. But I've been really busy doing a lot of remixes at the moment as well. I've just remixed Sam Smith's new single. I did Katy Perry's Smile track as well. I did Clean Bandit's new song. I've just done a remix with Jax Jones. So yeah, I'm going in on the remixes right now as well. But yeah, I'm in a really good creative space and just really focused on my music. And I'm really excited for next year.
Awesome. And MNEK, what do you have in the works? Have you, we were wondering both about maybe a future album for your own project, and then also if you've gotten a chance to do any behind the scenes work while everyone's been locked down.
Well, I have been focusing more on the behind the scenes stuff. I mean, this song has done really great and I've been really enjoying performing it and being a face, you know, of it next to Joel. And like, I'm also, on a new dance record by Sleepwalkers called More Than Words that came out a couple weeks ago. So that's also cool. But I mean, for the most part, I'm now at a place where I'm just happy to make music. So it's really not even about me being the face of it or like the voice behind it or anything. I look up to people like Timbaland and Pharrell and Quincy Jones. And, you know, I really just want to be that as far as my career. So that involves just being a part of music, just period. So with that said, I've done a lot of stuff on this new Little Mix album. So the new single, Sweet Melody, I've co-written and co-produced. I'm actually in with Mabel today, recording some stuff for her new album. And yeah, look, I'm just happy to make music. So, I mean, that's kind of been my gig this year and moving forward.
Well, we so appreciate you guys taking the time to talk with us today. Congratulations again on the massive success of The Head and Heart. And we appreciate you giving us such a happy, happy song during this time. So thank you.
Thank you guys so much. My heart is hurting, it's more than a crush, 'cause I'm frozen in motion and my head tells me to stop, but my heart goes.
Thank you again to Joel and to Ebony K for returning to the podcast. Yeah. We really appreciate your time and could not have had more fun with the two of them.
And now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Let's get it funk up on, have fun up on up in this dancery. We got y'all open, now you're floating. This week in 2001, Mary J. Blige got her first and so far only number one single on the Hot 100 with Family Affair. The song jumped from number 3 to number 1 on the list dated November 3rd, 2001, and spent 6 weeks in a row atop the chart. Blige debuted on the Hot 100 back in 1992 with her first hit, You Remind Me, which also topped the Hot R&B Hip-Hop Songs chart. Blige racked up a bevy of R&B Hip-Hop chart hits over the next few years, including the number ones Real Love, Not Gon' Cry from the movie Waiting to Exhale, and I'll Be There For You, You're All I Need to Get By with Method Man. But on the Hot 100, a number one eluded Blige until the upbeat dancery hit Family Affair took her all the way to the top.
So many fabricated words in that song, and I love it.
Yes, there is a lot.
Hateration, holleration.
Holleration in this dancery. But that's why we remember it. It's the skillful songwriting.
It's like Shakespeare inventing new words, you know.
In fact, before Family Affair, Blige flirted with the top slot with Not Gon' Cry, which spent 2 weeks stuck at number 2, behind Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men's monster number 1 hit, One Sweet Day. Now, since Family Affair, Blige garnered 2 more top 10s with the number 3 peaking hit Be Without You in 2006, and as the featured artist on Ludacris's number 2 hit Runaway Love in 2007. Fun fact, 2 songs named Family Affair hit number 1 on the Hot 100 so far. Before Blige's number one, there was a totally different song, also named Family Affair, by Sly and the Family Stone, that spent 3 weeks at number one in 1971. It actually debuted on the Hot 100 this week in 1971 on the chart dated November 6th, 1971. So there you have it. This week, in 2001, Mary J. Blige topped the Hot 100 with her first number one hit, Family Affair. All right, we've reached the end of our election special.
Yes.
Mary J. Blige, I hope you voted as well.
I bet she did. She seems very, like, involved.
You went down to the votery.
In the votery.
With your balloration, voteration in this polling placery. Nope.
This is a real song. This is a real hit.
Real song.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a real song.
I was actually thinking when you were saying all of her song titles that, like, you can sing every one of her song titles. Like, you just, like, want to sing it in Mary voice.
What songs should we go out on, Katie, on our election special?
Okay. What about, like, Marvin Gaye's What's Going On? You know, like, something that is an activist song, something that gets people motivated to go and make change in their community.
I like that idea. Let's go out on that, and we'll see you guys next week.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.